Morning, everyone. This week was my birthday, and for the first time that I can remember, I took the day off from school. And the kids were like, what are you going to do? And I was like, nothing, that's the point. Anyhow, and Jude was like, can I take the day off with you? And I was like, no, that's the point. Anyhow, but I did get a little, reading to try and prepare for this Sunday, so I'm not just flying by the seat of my pants. So I had read chapter 6, you know, it says the Hellenistic Jews. And some people may not know what that means. Jewish people can, as a ethnicity, can trace their lineage. They take it very seriously, and so they've kind of congregated in a way that many other kind of, you know, you think about all of the groups of people, of humans that have lived throughout time, right? You know, the Celts, the, you know, the Britons, the all of the tribes and that we never hear of. And because the Jews felt this, that there was this covenant, that they were the chosen people, then they focus much more on their lineage, their heritage, and that kind of stuff. But they also inherited or occupied this territory, Judea, that was kind of right at the central crossroads of ancient, the old world, right? It's where Europe, Africa, and Asia meet, is right there. And so as a result of that, the Jewish nation had been conquered a bunch of times, the Assyrians, the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Romans, the Greeks, everybody. And so the Jews are often moved around. The Hellenistic Jews are a group of people that would be referred to as people who lived in the Greek or Anatolia, which is today Turkey, and would have kind of maybe looked a little bit different, maybe had slightly different customs or dialect, that it's different than the Jews who lived in Judea, if that made any sense. It gives you a little historical context about who's who in the zoo. Because the early Christians are really trying to feel out. There's a lot of similarities between them and us here, because, you know, at the beginning, you know, we don't know what we were doing. How are we gonna start this church over? Right, we're kind of feeling it out. Everybody's well intentioned, and we're praying for guidance. The early Christian church is that way. There's no set rules, right? Jesus himself spoke in parables, mysteries constantly. So there's no rules. Who's in charge? What can you do? Are you allowed to own property? Should you sell it? Is this communism? Is this, you know, what are the rules? And so they're trying to figure that out. Does everybody have to be Jewish? Can Gentiles be Christians? And so they're kind of arguing and trying to figure out how to run this. And Peter and John and James and the crew are like, hey man, I'm, you know, trying to figure out the meaning of life. I don't have time to wait tables, need more bread for table 16, trying to do this. Anyhow, that kind of struck a chord with me this week. We always think of the church, rightfully so, with kind of grandiose meaning, but also there's just the nuts and bolts of like getting stuff done. How to feed the people, how to keep the lights on. Those of you in the church organization committee, I can't thank you enough. Without them, we don't have any of this. So they were doing it back 2,000 years ago, and we're still doing it now. Anyhow, that was just the free history part, Harjeet. That was the Christmas candy. Now we're going to get into the meat and potatoes. It was my birthday this week, as I said. And turns out, Steve, I'm getting old. I don't know how this happened. I don't know who approved this. I'm not happy about it. But what are you going to do? I don't know about you all. Maybe it's because I'm so like my father, but I tend to have an existential crisis every May 26th. What am I even doing? What is even the point? What am I doing? And the devil has a way of lying to me and pointing out all the things that I'm missing rather than the things that I have. So every year, I wrestle with looking at the things that I want that I don't have, the things that I haven't accomplished, the people that I have lost, and he puts those front and center in my mind. And so at a time where I should be celebrating with my friends and family, I'm in my head thinking about all of the missed opportunities, all of the mistakes that I've made, of which there are many, all of the people that I wish I could be with, but I can't, all of the wrong in my life, instead of all of the right. I would encourage you, not only on your birthday, there's 365 days a week, try to monitor your thoughts. Be aware of how the devil sneaks into your process. Because life is good. And yet there's so much sadness in the world. So this week I wanted to talk about, last week we were talking about like the meaning of life and purpose. But this week I'd like to kind of add on to that. Working with children is awesome and tiring. If you leave a group of kids alone in a room, they will get up to some shenanigans. They'll start running around and messing with each other and doing all kinds of stuff. A young person, child, Jude has already decided what she wants for her birthday, what she's going to do on her birthday, and, you know, who she wants to be with on her birthday. She is excited, right? I was like, baby, I can't afford to get you a cat, a new phone, a computer, and you're going to have to dial it down, right? You're not Richie Rich. Why does she have so much excitement? Why does she have so much happiness? Why does she have so much optimism? And meanwhile, her grumpy, salty dad, I just want to be alone for my birthday. What happened? What happened, Gabe? What happened? I've been thinking about it a lot. And surprises, Hector, I figured it out. So let me tell you. This is my theory.